Welcome to the Rated NA podcast, number 32 for the site nerdappropriate.com. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is not for Ash, but for me. this is an early podcast, so I'm all coffeed up and ready to go.
All right. They had an amp on sale at the convenience store for $2 for $3.
So it's going to be a good
wait,
day.
Are you on your second one then?
I'm on my second
oh
one.
Oh my God. Yes. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus, dude.
I kind of have the shakes.
Your heart is going to pop at some point.
A little twitchy. The other day I drank so much caffeine at work. I had like a half a liter Mountain Dew and then I think I had 2 Rockstars. And I got home from work and I was like shaking and vibrating and I was like, this isn't right. So then I ate meatloaf and it went away.
Oh my God.
You ate meatloaf and it went away?
Yeah, I heard that's what you do to cure those caffeine jitters. You eat some meatloaf.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's like when you're drunk and you just want to eat Taco Bell just to soak it up a little bit.
Yeah, man, that's what it was. It just this week, absorbed the
I had juice. Turkey burger, or no, I had tacos on Monday, turkey burgers on Tuesday. Tacos on Wednesday, turkey burgers on Thursday.
It sounds like us. Like,
and then I didn't break it until last night, and I had a Korean barbecue from the Korean barbecue truck.
Combo breaker.
These are all good things.
I know.
All good.
It was an awesome week.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We went out and bought a whole bunch of food and meat and stuff, and all I can really make well are tacos. We had like steak tacos, chicken tacos, ground beef tacos. And Christina's just looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing to me?
We got a grill at Christmas time. So now anytime it's my job to cook, I'm like, well, I can just throw that chicken on the grill.
You've become a dad.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's all dad grill cooking.
Yeah. I'll just throw it on the grill. Carrots, let's go. Here we go.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff coming up this week. We're going to be talking about Gears of War Coalition's End.
Yes.
The new book by Karen Travis, and I'll fly through that really quick. Scott played a little bit of Fruit Ninja Connect.
Yes.
And I want to hear about his ninja skills.
I'm going to add on to that because I started playing it on Android last week.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
So I want to know, cool. I want to know some things.
Good.
Good, good. I'm excited about it. We're going to talk about, Matt and I are going to talk about Earth's Mightiest
yes.
Heroes, which is a cartoon that I just fell in love with.
And it's so good.
Yes.
It was one of the summer of Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yes. It was one of my summer of Netflix.
Awesome.
And it is.
Yeah.
It could be good or could be bad. You'll have to listen to find out.
And what else? We're talking about Eureka's cancellation, and we had a open thread discussion about video game heroes, and we took a little Twitter poll, so we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah. A lot of good responses too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
We're still getting them as we're typing this, so or as we're saying this.
Sweet.
How you guys been?
Been good.
Cool.
What you been up to?
Well, like we've said before, or I've said before, summer's a great time to catch up on things.
Yeah.
Movies, books, video games. So I've actually been trying to go through my game pile to get stuff out of the way to get ready for the Old Republic, because I figure that's when the world is going to end. So I started playing The Witcher on PC.
Yeah.
I finished Borderlands, which
has an ending.
Has an ending. And man, that was something else.
Yeah.
But like Ash said, the DLC, well, Ash said before the podcast, the DLC is awesome. Like the DLC makes that game.
Yeah.
And extends the story.
Well, not it doesn't make the game, but it just, because the game's pretty awesome by
itself.
I think
the DLC is making up for the ending
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then, I don't know. I got a couple other, like Metro 2033 and...
yeah, I don't know what that is.
It was a I think the game came out a couple of years ago, but it's like a sort of a Russian linear shooter Fallout. So like imagine that like some kind of Holocaust or nuclear action took place in Russia and everybody's living in tunnels. And
yeah.
There are some resistance fighters trying to make the world a better place. And you're one of those dudes.
That's cool.
That's
awesome.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
How about you?
I haven't been playing much. I finished a couple playthroughs of Dragon Age Legacy. I know last time we recorded, I was almost done with it.
Cool.
And what else? I've been watching Avengers on Netflix, which we'll talk about. And I don't know. I go back to work on Monday, so I've been...
Well, you've been back, but no
yeah,
plans,
they
right?
call it pre-plan, where you yeah. sit around for a week and listen to meetings and stuff. So that's what I've been doing a lot of.
That's cool.
Not really that exciting, but
yeah,
getting back into the grind, so to speak. About you, Matt?
I started my second playthrough of Bastion.
Nice.
Which is honestly one of the most fun games I've played in a long time. It's really easy. I feel like I'm just a broken record, but the game is really fun. It's just easy to pick up and play. I've been trying to get back into the mode of New Vegas because I am in New Vegas and like probably not super far from the end. I'm not super close, but I'm at least halfway through the game, if not a little more than that. And every time I turn it on, I play for like 20 minutes and then something happens to where I could stop and then I end up stopping and then not playing anymore. And it's not that the game's not good. The game's awesome. I don't know.
Isn't there?
I like fell out of it and now I can't get back on.
Is there? There's DLC for that, right? Are you going to play any of that?
I don't know, man. My hard drive on my shitty 20 gig is totally filled up. And so if I do play DLC, it might be a revisit of the game.
I was kind of hoping they would stop making DLC so that I can buy the whole game, you know, like the game, quote unquote, game of the year.
Well, there's only four, and they already released three of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has an endpoint. We got the release or whatever that they said that they're doing the four total or whatever.
Excellent.
And
they're supposed to be good. I haven't played them either.
I love the setting. I honestly think I like the setting better than Fallout 3, which is weird because I love DC. And I wasn't sure I was going to like this kind of like faux Vegas desert setting, but...
Yeah, I think companions make a big difference in that game.
Oh, yeah. I forget that I have them. And then I'll get in a fight and I just see people like dying around me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have a sniper.
Yeah, there you go. So other than that, I guess we have some news coming up.
Yeah. So you guys want to go ahead and jump in?
Yeah, let's jump right into that news.
All right. The first thing, some more social network news. I know we talked Google Plus last time and kind of about how many people they have and how they ended brands. Well, the two big things that came out this week is Facebook. This was a weird big thing for Facebook. But they basically, if you have a Facebook app on your phone, right, which I mean most of us do probably, and it's set to sync with your Facebook account, what they did is kind of go, hey, cool, here's all the phone numbers that were in your phone book. Now they're on Facebook for you to use. So all of your phone numbers that were in your new phone book got synced to your account. Everyone immediately freaked out, rightly so, kind of. Except that when it came out, Facebook was like, responded pretty quickly this time and said, whoa, like, we didn't release your phone numbers. We just put them in your Facebook account. Like, it wasn't a public thing. They didn't, like, put your phone numbers on and then share it with all your friends. They just had it in your account for access, which is convenient. The problem that I ran into is that I had it set to not have my phone number in Facebook. And sure enough, I went and checked my profile, and there was my phone number.
Same here.
So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if that was private or not. I just know that I my issue was not other people seeing my phone number. It was I didn't want my phone number in Facebook. I just didn't want it there.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what happened or how. I'm assuming what happened is that if I had friends that synced their phone book and it had my phone number in it, Facebook was just like, hey, your phone number's in Facebook now.
Yeah.
So I turned it off on my phone you can go through, there's a process. If you go online and look it up, there's like a billion different people posted it, but there's a process you can go through to remove the phone numbers. Did you guys remove them? Did you see it? Did you care? What were your thoughts?
Does this burn you on Facebook or no? I didn't care. I mean, I'm already kind of done with Facebook, but I feel like you just kind of have to squat on your Facebook like identity. Like, so you need to keep, I would like to delete my Facebook, but I feel like you just need to have it. But didn't they also say in the release that they claim that this has always been there, or was this really something that just happened like yesterday?
The ability for your phone numbers to be in your Facebook account has always been there. I don't think that they were always synced. I think that they just did this mobile syncing. Like your account was always syncing. The way it was working was your account was always syncing with Facebook on your phone, but it was one way. It was from Facebook to your phone. And basically what they did was enabled two-way and enabled it back to Facebook.
I mean, it does kind of imply in the word sync that it would go both ways.
Yeah. I think mostly what it is with Facebook is that, like, I don't know why they don't publicly post on your wall that just, like, is like a sticky post. It's like, hey, next week we're going to enable two-way syncing and there's going to be phone numbers in your Facebook
account.
It's the track record. If you don't want that, click this button and we'll not do that for you. And, like, instead it's just like, I look on Facebook and all of a sudden there's like 50 posts that are like, all of the phone numbers you've ever known are now on Facebook. And I'm what the hell?
It's a mess. I think like the main problem is the way they set up their security settings, like what you want displayed, is sort of like a labyrinth of like, it's just a huge clusterfuck. So,
and yeah. you alluded to this, like, in, you commented on the post that I was like, hey, if you didn't want your phone number on Facebook, you might want to check, cause mine just showed up. That for you, it's like a job security issue too.
Oh yeah, man. Like my phone number is like one of my closely guarded secrets, and there's a lot of places where, you know, students can get a hold of it and things of that nature. But, you know, all I need is like a teenager randomly, like, basically sending me an image of like a private part, and I could get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like ridiculous, but that's just the way it works. You know? So yeah, I don't like to really give that out very often.
So, I mean, does that make you consider, like, here's, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I would love to leave Facebook right now. I don't use it anymore for just about anything. I had started playing some games. I was playing like Dragon Age or whatever.
Legends.
And then I was playing Axis and Allies or whatever the Zynga game is. And but I wasn't like way into them. I go on Facebook now randomly at best. And it's usually when somebody messages me or something. So I have to like go in and check it. But I'm pretty close. The other thing is my mom literally just joined Facebook.
Yeah,
in like the latest move ever to Facebook, my mom just joined like last week. And it was really adorable. She called me this week and was like, did you see your cousin's post? And I was like, no, what? And she's like, your cousin posted this thing about blah, blah. And I commented, and then she commented back. And I was like, this is how Facebook works,
yeah,
Mom.
Yeah.
Like, you're done.
My mom got it a little while ago, and she still doesn't really get how it works. So she'll, like, on my wall, she'll be like, make sure you mow your lawn. I have a feeling that your lawn is extra long. And I'll be like, Mom, there's like 200 people that are reading you scolding me right now.
Yeah, so I would love to. I think I'm getting closer every day to just be like Tumblr, Twitter, and Google Plus. And those are kind of the three things that I use very regularly. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of up in the air. I don't know what I want to do with it yet.
Speaking of Google Plus, though, they have made a move where they're rolling out a games section to everyone that has an account. It's going to show up in where your streams are listed. So you'll have like friends, family, all that stuff. And one of the tabs will just be games. If you click that, you'll get a list of available game platforms right now to play on. They're supposedly reaching out to developers. So this is very much not Facebook yet. It's not like they opened up a platform and said, build games for Google Plus. They just are kind of slowly putting, I'm sure there's going to be like, you know, Bejeweled and some kind of Words with Friends ripoff and things like that. I'm sure they're talking to Zynga. I can't imagine they're not talking to Zynga, which is basically one of the biggest game developers in the world now.
Yep, it's crazy.
So is this noise you want on your Google Plus account, or is this noise that's going to annoy the crap out of you on your Google Plus account? Or is it how they handle it? If it just stays a little tab that if you never click, you'll never even know there was games, or...
I'm pretty sure that on my Facebook, my headline is blocking your game updates since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime like somebody's like, so-and-so sent you a starfish for your undersea garden, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hide all of those.
Yeah.
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 Do you think, though, with the inherent way that Google Plus works, like, and this is where it gets weird, because that's how all Zynga games work, literally. That's literally how every Zynga game ever created works.
I never see any of that.
I block
them
all, too. Mm-hmm. But the way Google Plus works, I feel like the nature of that network is not to allow that kind of noise into your feed. I feel like these games are going to be kind of the way Google described it was families getting together to play a board game and then putting the board game away. Like
they described it very much
as like, we all have a game closet. You go in, you play a game, and then when you're done, you put your game away and you don't look at it anymore. So
I'm gonna tell you right now, that is not what a Zynga game is. You know,
no.
You know, like that's that's not like...
Well, I don't know if they're talking to Zynga. I'm just saying that Zynga's literally the largest game developer.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean that doesn't bother me as much as the fact that like for the two or three things I do play on Facebook, which is Dragon Age Legends and a couple other things, they've already said that like if you start a Dragon Age Legends game on Google Plus, you're basically just starting over.
Yeah.
And I know for technical and like monetary reasons it's not going to be possible to do that, but as a gamer, I don't care. Like,
right.
I want the game to be the same game, and if I'm going to have to start over, then I don't give a shit.
Well, the games they announced were Angry Birds, Dragon Age Legends, and Bejeweled Blitz.
And that's the thing, is that, like, if my Angry Birds progress from whatever, like my Google Chrome doesn't carry over, then that fucking sucks.
It might carry over from Google Chrome.
Yeah.
It might, I'm assuming that anywhere that your Google account is synced to it, they might be able to tell you like, hey, like, although I say that probably incorrectly because I have it on my phone and beat it, and I doubt they're going to know that I beat it on my phone.
Right, and to sort of be like the naive gamer, like I'm going to play like the I don't know anything about technology card and just say like, you know what, it should just work. I don't care. You know?
Yeah. We'll see.
So we'll see. They're supposedly offering, they're going to say they're going to offer like in-game purchases and stuff like that too at a lower rate than the other folks.
I mean, that, and that's probably why you have to start over in a game like Dragon Age Legends. Like, you can't just,
well, I mean,
like,
why you have to start over is because one's synced to your Facebook account and one's going to be synced to your Google account, and they have literally nothing to do with
each
other.
But like I said, I don't care how,
right,
it works.
But that, I mean, like, in essence, that would be like buying Mass Effect 2 on the Xbox and then buying it on the PS3 and getting mad that your save from the Xbox isn't on your PS3. It's like they're different platforms. They're not going to, they don't sync like that.
It's the same internet. You know what I'm saying?
Like, listen, buddy, I deal with people like you all the time. They're different.
I'm playing the advocate of the gamer.
Right. There you go.
Anyways. I know.
So I don't know. We'll see. To me, it's like, I think if it works how they described it, which is you pull a game out, you play it, you put your game away, and then it's in your, you know, closet. I think that's awesome.
It has promise.
Yeah, I don't want the noise of Facebook. That's the part of what burned me, kind of made me tired of Facebook, was that kind of crap starting. So next we have some super sad news for me, and I know now for Ash as well.
Yes.
I don't think Scott has gotten on this train yet, but this show is amazingly awesome.
I haven't
started. Need to.
I will watch it.
But Sci-Fi just announced that after season 5, Eureka will not be renewed.
I saw you posted a comic afterwards, and I thought that was spot on.
Will Wheaton actually posted that
comic.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it was for monetary reasons? Do you think it's because it's...
I mean, the comic was a boardroom, Sci-Fi's boardroom, and they were like, Eureka's our number one show, and blah, 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 and, you know, we should definitely renew it. And then the guy in like the head chair just goes, no. And then everybody in the room goes, brilliant, best idea ever. And they're just like, that's the comic. But I don't know. I mean, that's what Jamie Paglia, one of the co-creators,
yeah,
said, that basically, yes, that's the reason, is that they're the most expensive show to produce on Sci-Fi, and that they're just not pulling the advertising numbers to cover that. And that basically... I made a 30 Rock reference and said when Cable Town came in, which is when Comcast bought NBC, Comcast just decided, hey, we're not going to take a loss on this show anymore. Sorry.
That's what happens. And like, I think advertising revenues for shows across the board are down. So
yeah,
it just hits a smaller network like Sci-Fi a little bit harder. But
Jamie also said that it was part a decision of theirs too, that I think they were offered to take a lower budget and they just felt like they couldn't pull off the show they wanted to pull off at the lower budget.
Mm.
So
it's kind of sad. I'm not even through season one yet. And
so good.
And what I was saying to Christina was like, when a show gets canceled and I'm just starting to watch it,
yeah,
I instantly lose the desire to see it. But hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
It's only when it gets canceled, like after season two, then I just kind of lose. Like, if a show lasts 5 seasons, that's a pretty good run.
It's a pretty good run.
Like, you know, you can. That
longest sitcom on TV was what, 9? Seinfeld ran 9, or Friends run 10, or something like that.
It
was like 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's long. I mean, like, you know,
but that's long. I mean, most run 6,
yeah,
7.
So
tops.
Five is a good. You know, of course, you want to see the shows you love go on forever, but it's just not going
to
happen.
They did post an update, which I posted to the article. Sci-Fi came back after the fan kind of outcry, because fans got rightfully kind of upset. We're like, what the hell? Like, this is, we love this show.
You know,
a lot of us watch this and it's your highest rated show. Why would you cancel it? And Sci-Fi came back and said, okay, well, they funded one more show, one more episode, so that they could do an actual finale and write and wrap up the show. Cause I guess season 5 had already been planned, if not shot mostly.
Oh, okay.
And they came back and said, all right, well, you know, you get another episode to kind of wrap things up. So there is going to be a finale, an actual finale, not just the end of season 5.
Yes.
So who knows how it's going to go? I don't know how you wrap up a whole show in one episode.
Seriously,
but
yeah.
At least they did that. You know,
unless I mean? The town explodes, that's a great ending.
Yeah,
it's very possible.
Well, my in-article joke was that they were going to fire everybody, move all the projects to the DOD, and then wipe everybody's memory.
Well, either that or they'll be like, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll do a spinoff of Eureka with less characters.
Well, but Warehouse 13 is a spinoff of Eureka.
Is it really?
Yeah. And there's a crossover episode in season 4.
That's pretty rad.
Two crossover episodes.
I've been dying
actually.
To see that show.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I had no idea it was a crossover.
Yeah. They like the two worlds tie loosely, I guess.
That's very
cool. Like they both exist in the same universe.
The sci-fi-verse.
Well, now there's more room for wrestling, so everyone can rest easy.
God.
Maybe there'll be like a Warehouse 13 Raw
crossover. Isn't that kind of like, and not to bash on any channels, but that just seems like Comcast's thing. They're just like, let's take this one channel that has these four awesome programs, and then we'll just put Cops on it, you know, or whatever, like, bullshit show they just feel like throwing
on There was actually an article in Wired about the sort of the program director or head marketer for USA and how she kind of handled bringing things like wrestling to USA Network. And that's when they introduced that whole characters welcome thing, because it sort of like makes it kind of ties in like, how is Monk related to...
And USA has some decent original programming too.
Right, but they had to find a way to justify having wrestling. So they kind of said like, oh, characters welcome. So now you can put wrestling on it. Like, and I mean, wrestling probably doesn't belong on anything, but like, Spike, maybe? I don't know. Like, I don't know where it goes, but...
I don't know. I would say back in the day, it would have been like TNT, but TNT's actually moved into its own...
Yeah, but TNT knows drama, so that could be that, too. Yeah. But, like, I don't know, so... Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's sad. It really is a good show. If you haven't watched it, don't let this deter you. The show is some of the best character work I've ever seen. I mean, it's awesome.
I think that you can only burn sci-fi nerds so many times on TV before, like, we're just going to find something else to do.
Well, Battlestar ended, though, right? Battlestar did a full run.
It ended, but Caprica...
That's on my list of shows.
I mean, Caprica was canceled.
Look, Torsani will be on another show, man. It's cool.
I know.
She'll get something.
But I mean, just like sci-fi in general, whether it's on broadcast or cable, like, you can't just keep burning us because we have other things to do. We can read comic books or play video games, you know? Like,
it's true.
So one day you're going to wonder like where that demographic went, and we're all going to be on Xbox or doing something else. So
yeah, sad, but
five
happens. I guess five seasons pretty good. It's and it only gets better.
Good.
I promise.
Can't
the
wait.
Show keeps getting better season
I'm excited.
After season. All right. So the last bit was a Twitter thing, right? Yesterday.
Yeah, it's really quick. A long time ago, Epic said. Epic Games said, hey, if you guys play a whole...
No, you're on first name basis.
Epic. if you play a whole lot of Gears of War 2, you can achieve this achievement called Veteran Gear, which means you reach rank 100 in multiplayer. Reaching rank 100 multiplayer is freaking crazy because it doesn't really take into account like your single player games. You don't get very many points for playing Horde, so it's pretty much just for the people that play cooperative multiplayer to rank all the way up that high. Now, they did do like experience weekends where they'll do like 30x experience multipliers and things of that nature, but even at that rate, it's pretty challenging to reach rank 100. They said on the live broadcast last night that out of all the millions and millions of people that have played Gears of War 2, there's only a 2% of the population that have ever gotten this achievement.
Wow.
So you think, and they've been saying for months and months and months, we are going to reward the players that have this achievement in Gears of War 3 with some sort of super mega award. Now, I don't have the achievement, so I'm impartial.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping the achievement sucks because if it was something amazing, I would have been really pissed because I wouldn't be able to get it. But so... Turns out what the achievement is or what the reward is you get a special title for your character, like a Veteran Gear title, and you get a special medal, like an icon next to your character, which I don't give a fuck about, right? And you unlock all of the primary weapons, so the Lancer, the Gnasher, the Sawed-Off, all of those with the gold skin. Also, which I don't really care too much about. And the thing about that that's even worse is... If you've played Gears 1 and you've played Gears 2 and you've beaten them and you played the beta or whatever, you can unlock all five of those gold guns without ever getting the Veteran Gear Award. So pretty much all you get for literally probably
the title
is the title for about like 100 hours of busting your ass.
But I mean, some people really care about that.
Yeah, they do. It's like the same mentality of the people that like prestige in, yeah, in Modern Warfare. You know, yeah, they're like, I'm sixth prestige. You're like, yeah, but what?
Like, right, it's not a real thing. It's just
you have a...
You know you didn't join the army, right? Like, yeah.
All that means is that you have less of a life. No offense. I don't really get prestige.
Like, you're not going to walk into Publix and be like, I have sixth prestige in COD Blups. And yeah, they'll be like, great, do you want bread? Or yeah, what? Yeah. I
don't. You can source. Go to the front of the deli line, sir. Yeah. We'll slice your meat first.
Yeah. Publix, for those in other states, is a southeastern grocery.
It's a Wegmans for you folks up,
yes,
north.
Yes, it's a Wegmans.
Or a, yeah, Piggly Wiggly for, yeah, you folks in Alabama.
Yeah.
What?
It's like three Piggly Wigglies jammed together.
But anyway, veteran gear revealed last night, in my opinion, not that it. Great. Not that great. But for some people, they may be super excited.
That's the thing. Like,
Scott, you're an achievement whore. What do you feel about that?
Well, what I posted, I mean, I think this speaks more to unlockable content and DLC and stuff like that. And the problem is that you can't really include, like, you can't make something separate from the game that, yeah, would alienate the casual gamer who just, yeah, buys the game.
And that's the problem.
Like, even in a game like Mass Effect, you can't say something like, oh, well, you know, if you buy the DLC, well, then you get to go on the Normandy.
But what if they gave you, you know, like, yeah, what if they gave you, and granted, they probably can't do this because it would cause them to have to program something for all of the games. But, like, mm-hmm, wouldn't it be cool if they gave you, like, a gun you could use in Horde mode? Something, yeah, that wouldn't affect other players, but still made you feel like, oh, I got the awesome gun for Horde mode,
yeah,
you know?
See, that's, yeah.
Or even a character model that no one else has access to.
Yeah, something, like I think that the key is, the problem I've always had, or not the problem I've always had, but the problem I have with Call of Duty and games like that is that those rewards for leveling, those rewards for just brute force playing the game endlessly, to me, alienate me from ever playing.
That's the joke, is that, like, the better you are, like, the better you... the better shit you get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I feel,
yeah,
like the worse you are, you should get better shit.
So I always feel like you should get rewarded with things that don't fuck everyone else in the game.
Yeah.
And like that would be cool to me. Like if I showed up to Horde mode and you were like, I got this fucking gun because I played a ton of this game, I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah, let's use it.
Let's use your gun, man.
There you go.
I think so. I'd almost rather get something in the mail. Like,
oh, yeah.
If it's really 2%, just like,
oh, yeah,
have.
Or what if they gave you like an avatar or something for Xbox?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Cliffy B should just sign like a little like postcard for you and like send it to you in the mail. Yeah. I think that would be better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man.
Cliffy B. All right. so we have some reviews. Beers,
we do some reviews. We can just do them. We don't take breaks.
All right. So yeah, we don't need breaks. We're turbo mode.
I was
today
transitioning you into your review.
I got thrown off by the blank. I was like, what is the blank? What is the blank? So I was like all excited. I'm
no
like,
no one will ever know what the blank is.
There's a secret
until
secret
next
review
week.
So yeah, we've talked about this on the show before, but I read the Gears of War books, all done by Karen Travis. Karen Travis used to do like war correspondence and stuff like that, and she wrote a bunch of the Halo books, and she's just really good at writing military fiction. She has a really good mind for you know, kind of what soldiers go through and things of that nature. So the Gears of War books ended up turning out to be really good, which I was kind of surprised about, because a lot of times video game books aren't the best. but these are actually really, really solid. So I picked up the Gears of War Coalition's End, which is the fourth book in the series. I picked it up at Comic-Con. I annoyed the hell out of everyone for the rest of my trip because I would like carry it around with me like a Bible, and I'd be like on the bus because we didn't have a car for the trip. I'd be like on the bus like reading my book. And
weren't you guys closer this year though?
No, we were further this year. We were by the airport. Yeah, we were.
I thought
BFA.
You said it was closer.
No, we were like 3 miles out.
That sucks.
Yeah. So the book is, you know, you guys have played the games, you know, there's a lot of characters and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But what she really does very, very well is she gets into the backstories of a lot of these characters that you don't know a lot about. Like, you guys remember Dizzy from the second game, the guy with the hat?
Nope.
You don't remember him?
Okay. Oh, wait, the cowboy guy?
The cowboy guy.
Yeah. I remember him from multiplayer.
We're still trying to finish.
We got to a house.
We're a little behind. We're getting
there. We're in a house.
You're in a house.
It's probably like 10 minutes into the game.
I don't remember the house. But anyway, so there's a guy with a cowboy hat, right? So you don't remember much about him. And to be honest, his presence in the second game isn't all that memorable. He like shows up, he helps you on that big grind lift during something called Operation Lifeboat, and he helps like, you know, shoot you into the ground, and then he kind of disappears for the rest of the narrative. He is playable in multiplayer, and a lot of players really liked his character design and wondered what his story was. And so what she does in these books is she divides the book half into backstory about characters and half into what's happening between the games. So there's four entire novels. We're talking like 500 pages of material that takes place between Gears of War 2 and Gears of War 3. So that's a lot of information and a lot of story, right? And she also goes into the backstories on like where was Coltrane when the Locust first emerged? You know, what was he up to? What was he doing? And it gets into like, you know, his mind. He's like this, the most famous, you know, thrash ball player in the entire world. Mm-hmm. He's in a limousine and then all hell breaks loose. What does a guy like that do?
Do you think they'll ever make a thrash ball game like after they're done with Gears?
I honestly hope that that's what Epic is secretly
not to
working
derail
on.
You completely.
No, I would love to see that.
Like you talk about it so much, like in the game, and then like just show us what it is.
Yeah.
You
know, like, I know. I think that'd be great if they made us a fictitious sports game, you know, that'd be great. But you know, what she also does really well is she takes some characters from the graphic novels that really haven't gotten much, you know, much time, so to speak, puts them in the book as well. So you get to see characters like Marcus interact with people from the extended universe. And it all paves the way for what's going to happen in the next game. So it's really, really good. It's really well written. It's long. It feels like it spins its wheels at some points because they are, you know, telling the story between the two games, and there's only so much they can reveal because the game is about to come out, and they're kind of just like waiting, you right. know? So it's a lot of like the Gears of War, you know, the cog soldiers sitting at the bar talking.
It's well, I mean, just to, as a point of comparison, it's not like they're ever really like gigantic like reveals in like the Star Wars EU books,
yeah.
Either, you know, like true. Maybe you get one thing out of a book and like,
yeah.
But it's still enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
So that's what I was going to kind of ask. So ask
me.
That's what I was going to ask. All
right.
You read the Mass Effect books.
I read two of them. I think there are two more.
Did you read the Dragon Age books?
No, I did not.
Did you?
Yes.
You read Dragon Age and then Gears of War books.
I read Mass Effect books too.
And the Mass Effect books. And you read a lot of Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah, post original trilogy.
The only stuff, like I use post original. I didn't mess with the prequel shit.
There's like there's like Clone Wars novels and Old Republic and shit like that.
I was thinking about this the other day. Melissa was talking to me about it. And the only books that I read that are part of a bigger existing universe, I guess, were the Dragonlance books. And I read those when I was like 14. I mean, I've read them again since, but. Other than that, I read like, you know, the Enders series, and I read like nonfiction books, and like I don't know why, and it's not because it's not because like we had talked about, you know, I don't look down on those books. Like it's not like I've tried reading Star Wars, and a couple of them I've really enjoyed, but they're usually so far out of the movie universe that like they're just kind of standalone sci-fi books to me at that point, but. What do you guys, I mean, does it really add another level for you? Is it something that you're always interested in, or is it like you just love Gears of War?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what's the draw?
I think you read them because you enjoy like those universes and you just kind of want more stuff. Like you just want to know what's going on. Like,
would you read a Western from Red Dead?
I mean like that, it's like, you know, that story world didn't like do as much for me what like a game like Mass Effect did for me.
Okay.
You know,
if for me, it has a lot to do with really liking the universe and wanting to know more about it. Like once I read those Gears of War books, it makes me understand a lot more about the characters and it makes the games themselves more enjoyable. Like the first thing I did after I read a couple of the Gears novels is I went back and played through both Gears of One and Gears of War 2, you know, straight playthroughs back to back. And it made the world just feel that much more solid, that much more concrete, and you know, makes it a lot more fun too.
I feel like I don't like to read books where I already know what the characters sound like and look like. Like I like making up, you know, okay. What I mean? It annoys me when I read something and all I can hear is a guy who I already know the voice talking.
Well, mm-hmm. With respect to like the Mass Effect books, like the at least the first two, don't really do anything with any of the main characters from the game. I mean, there might be one character in each book who is part of the game universe.
Right.
But then everything else is just like kind of just sets the tone for things that are happening in that universe and kind of gives you like a flavor of the mood. So when you go back and play the video games like Gears or Mass Effect, you kind of like have a better like understanding of the world at large and not necessarily like a specific character from the game.
I mean, I guess because I did read the Guild comic books, the graphic novel, and loved it. And that has a definite voice. And I think I even said in the review, like, when you read the book, it's like her talking, essentially, when you read it. She writes very much in her own voice. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I guess I enjoyed that. I don't know. I don't know why it is that I don't ever get into them. I just was wondering, like, is your draw is just the universe? You get to see more of this world kind of built out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And especially if you're really into a franchise, it's like, you know, the wait between games can be 3, 4, 5 years. And so, you know, once you beat a game and you're like, God, that was amazing. You're like, I kind of wish there was a little bit more. And, you know, if there's not DLC coming out, you got to take what you can get, you know?
Well, and, you know, God forbid a 14-year-old kid picks up a book and reads.
Oh, I know, right? Seriously. Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, like, if I saw a kid who's like, I love Gears of War, all I read is Gears of War, I'd be like, at least you're reading.
There you go. At least you can read, yeah.
Not going to fight it. So speaking of ninjas.
Yes.
Scott played a game that I have been playing on a smaller screen.
Fruit Ninja Connect.
Yes.
I only played the original, like the iOS version of Fruit Ninja, maybe like once or twice. So I didn't really have too much of a sort of like a background or.
I will fill in those gaps for you.
Right. I had no previous, you know, whatever is coming into this experience.
But it was a summer of arcade.
Yeah.
Did you get From Dust?
I did not.
You didn't end up getting. I didn't either. And I keep hearing good things.
I hear mixed reviews.
I think the bad things I've heard are the people who are like, this isn't a God game. And I'm like, it's a puzzle game, which is what I kept saying.
Right.
But
I mean, like, on one hand, you want to get like a Fruit Ninja Connect. I was like, finally an arcade game for the Kinect, you know, but just to leave it at that, I think would sort of discount the quality of the game. Like, cause the game is actually really good. I don't know. Like I said, don't know too much about the iOS version, but you know, the premise is the same. You slice fruit.
The premise.
I mean, like,
there's literally no premise.
The backstory.
I'm talking about, I mean,
are
like
you a Yakuza ninja?
I guess the premise of the game, I'm a chef, actually.
You're a chef ninja?
Chef ninja. Yeah, I mean, the fruit flies up on the screen and you chop it, but...
great review! Moving on!
Yeah.
The fruit flies on the screen and you chop it. Can you chop it with your cock?
No, I haven't tried. I don't think the Kinect... I think the Kinect
doesn't recognize it, right?
I think it I think it intentionally does not recognize it. So
really?
I think in a sense...
I'm sure it recognizes it, but...
That's what I was going to say. I think the Kinect does know where your stuff is.
It does one of these.
Yeah.
For the listening audience, I just put my hand in front of my face and went...
none of that.
But I guess when you're talking about like slicing with your finger versus like the whole body experience, like
I think you're adding too much weight to what I said. You're trying to legitimize my ridiculous.
No. I mean, I think he's comparing the.
I mean, comparing the phone
experience.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm saying
Kinect experience, not
chopping with your finger as opposed to your penis. There is a difference.
The day we get through a Kinect review that doesn't involve Ash's penis.
Sorry.
Actually, Children of Eden, Child of Eden. I don't think.
We didn't talk about it.
I don't think you brought your penis up.
I didn't.
Sorry.
He failed.
Right. So
derailed.
Gone. So I've been playing it on Android for I don't know, like a month.
Yeah.
It is the dumbest game I've ever played in my life. Honestly,
yeah, it's.
But is insanely addictive. Like,
I have a question since I've never played either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there levels essentially?
No.
So,
there's like three modes. One is like you chop the fruit, and if like three fall and you miss, like it's like the classic mode. It's like three strikes and you're out.
Okay.
Then there's like a time attack mode where you try to score as many points as possible, and then there's like an arcade mode, which I think is timed but has like power ups.
It's timed.
The arcade mode is like over the top,
Okay.
So the classic mode is three strikes you're out, but there's also bombs that fly up, and if you hit a bomb, the game's over.
Oh, okay.
The Zen mode, which is the one that's just time attack, there's no bombs, and it's just fruit, and you're just slicing as much fruit as you possibly can slice. There's no upgrades. I think that's why it's called Zen mode, because it's just okay. Like there's nothing really happening other than slicing fruit. And then arcade mode, there's bombs, but all the bombs do is reduce your score. The time limit's a little bit longer, I think, and then there's power-up bananas. There's like a freeze one, there's a frenzy one, and then there's a... I'm assuming this is the same on Kinect.
Yeah.
Freeze, frenzy, and then double score, double points.
On what they added for the Kinect version, though, is they added a new kind of fruit.
Did they?
Yeah.
What?
Which doesn't do anything.
Probably. No, actually, they added this, like, it's like a mini game. It's like a mega fruit that kind of like... It's like a gigantic fruit that slowly flies across the screen, and as soon as you strike it, the screen zooms into this mega fruit, and you have like 10 seconds to just land as many hits on it as possible.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So you kind of look like an ass in your living room because you're just like, you're going like this, trying to chop like as fast as you can.
It's like bullet time, like Neo fruit.
Yeah, you get like a Neo bullet time. Like
sweet.
You score, like you can throw like 50 hits on the fruit, and then it bolsters your score, and that's kind of funny.
Does it track your feet? Can you like...
Yes.
Can you combo?
And
like,
that's the thing.
Do a jump kick?
Yeah. That's what's different is that you can use two hands, obviously.
Right.
And you can use your feet because, like, if you can just kind of get your foot up into the sensor area, like, you can hit those outside corners.
I really wished, that's the one thing, as dumb as this sounds, I really wished it had multi-touch on the phone.
Yeah.
So that you could do, like, two swipes at once or, like, drag two fingers across.
And that's why I kind of mentioned you can do the whole, like, wax on, wax off maneuver.
That's cool.
Like, in this version. And then there's also, like, a party, like, multiplayer mode where two people can stand side by side and play. I haven't tried that yet.
Cool.
That's cool. The thing is, there's unlocks. I'm sure there's award. I'm sure there's gamer points in the Kinect one.
There are unlocks, but they're cosmetic in this game.
Yeah, well, that's what they are on the Same. Phone. They're all cosmetic, but yet I'm doing all of them. I have no idea why. I've unlocked everything except one.
You're
because
like, I totally want my blade to be blue when I slash.
They don't do anything. They literally give you a different background or a different color blade.
Awesome.
And then the one that I'm like stuck on, the only one I can't get, which you're probably not going to get how ridiculous this is, but in arcade mode, you have to score exactly 234 points.
That's really difficult.
Which is insane. Because in arcade mode, they give you like bonus points at the end too.
Okay.
So even if you hit 234, you would end up at like 264 or something. You have to like guess how many bonus.
It's just
ridiculous.
Random luck.
Yeah.
So anyways.
But it's fun. The game is fun on the phone, so I'm assuming it's a blast on Kinect.
Yeah, and like I said...
Was it $10?
Yeah, it's $10, and it is the only arcade Kinect game that I know of.
I thought there was one other for some reason.
I don't know.
Anyways.
But anyways, that is a reason to get it, but it's not the only reason.
Is it the reason to get the Kinect?
It is not the reason to get the Kinect. Like,
damn.
If this were built into the Kinect when you bought it, you'd be like, sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but you got Kinect Adventures, which is great too. So.
Right, yeah.
But it's still fun. So
cool.
Good deal.
Yep.
So the last thing we're going to talk about is a show that I added as a Summer of Netflix show a little while ago, mainly because I woke up on a Sunday morning, I got a bowl of cereal, and I wanted to watch a cartoon. Like, that was literally, I was transported back to when I was 13, and I never had Saturdays off. I did stuff, so I never had Saturdays. So Sunday morning was always my morning to sit in front of the TV and do nothing. And I was like, I want to watch something. And I stumbled across Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers.
Yes.
And Ash started watching this, how recently?
Oh, 3 days ago.
3 days ago. It's on Netflix streaming. And it is honestly, since Batman, the original Batman, well, not the 90s Batman cartoon,
the animated series.
Since that series, I think this is the best comic book related comic or cartoon to come out.
I would almost agree with you, and there's a few reasons why. One is it's completely not rushed.
No,
they take. I think I'm on episode 13, and the team may now just be together.
Assembled, yeah.
After 13 episodes, the team is now...
They walk through every character for, like, everybody gets an episode or two at the beginning.
Yep. And then slowly, how do they get together? And it's
26 episodes 26 long.
26 episodes long, yeah. So I'm about halfway through. And they just do a really great job of capturing the essence of... the old school Marvel essence of these characters. There's no like, you know, cheesy, like all of a sudden, you know, Hulk wears like a black leather costume because it looks cooler. And like, you know, Thor is actually from Hoboken, New Jersey, and has like, you know, it's the legitimate origins of all these characters from the old school comic books.
Yeah.
And really, they really do bring them together in the same way that they were brought together in the original series, which
is also, it's also primarily targeted for kids, right? So it's not like the
it is like,
I mean, the characters are not like deconstructed in the sense
we're, it's not like an alcoholic Iron Man
right, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean it's fun. The show's just a lot of fun, but and to that point, like, I think that's what really turned me off of like X-Men Evolution and like some of the other new ones that have come out. There's a new standalone Iron Man, and I can't get into it.
Yeah.
And I honestly was expecting to have that with this. I thought I would watch an episode and be like, well, that's a cartoon, and then like never watch it again. And I think I did the same thing you did, which was within 3 days have watched like 15 to 20 episodes. I just flew through them. I don't know
how is the animation? Cause that, I feel like that's
pretty solid.
It varies. Like, first couple episodes are a little, you know, not great. And I think their budget increased a little bit, and it got better, but
it's not Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's definitely not Clone Wars.
I mean, but it's not bad though.
Yeah, but right? it's
I mean, you know, why what is the major appeal of this show if it's not necessarily the animation or the voice acting or whatever?
Well, the voice acting's really good.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it's okay, so I always had kind of a problem with the Avengers as a kid growing up. I was always more of an X-Men fan because the X-Men could lose.
Okay.
And in my I've always been a big fan of underdogs, and the Avengers were unstoppable. It's like they're called Earth's Mightiest Heroes because they are Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Right.
And so you're like, well, what's the fun of watching a team of guys that can kick literally anyone's ass? What this cartoon does is it makes them really able to get their asses kicked. And some of the fight scenes in this are like really like Dragon Ball Z style. They're like an entire episode of a fight.
Yeah. Really?
It's like 25 minutes. Like the episode and specifically I'm thinking about is when they fight Graviton. When everyone first breaks out of prison, it's the entire Avengers team versus one dude, and it's a 25-minute fight. It's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And everyone's just getting thrown around and their asses kicked. And they're really creative about how they use their powers and how they team up and work together.
They talk about, because it's there's a weird dichotomy with the Avengers where you've got Thor and Hulk and Iron Man, who are essentially unbeatable. I mean, essentially those three could beat anything that they wanted to beat ever. I mean, like, and he uses it a bunch in the show, but like Iron Man has this like pulse laser that comes out of the center unit that basically just destroys whatever it hits. Like, it'd be like, he's up against God and he just destroyed God with his pulse laser. Like, So like, and then Thor is a god, and then Hulk, they've basically made Hulk Superman, but like not Superman.
Yeah.
Like he just can't die. Like he just continually lives.
Yeah.
So like you've got those people, and then you've got Wasp.
Yeah, Wasp,
who shoots pellets out of her fingers. Like,
and is she the Meg of the group?
But the thing is, they handle her really well and make her like a really interesting point to the story. And they don't just like throw her in danger and make her get caught. Like they make her tough and kind of like badass and fast.
She does shit like fly up to your ear canal and like shoot a beam in it. And she's also, I don't want to say comic relief, but she's sort of like the mortal character of the group.
They added Black Panther yet? He just showed up.
Yeah,
okay.
They added Black Panther. I have to say real quick.
Yeah.
There's a point where Black Panther fights,
Gorilla?
King Gorilla. And I just kind of looked at it and I'm like,
that's what I was talking about with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was like, Black Panther, for the fate of Wakanda, which is a fake African nation, Black Panther is fighting King Gorilla in this arena with like a whole bunch of guys surrounding them with like, you know, archaic fighting equipment with points on the end.
Okay.
And I said to myself, I don't know if this is really politically correct anymore.
It's not that it's politically incorrect. It's that if you were at all racist, it pretty much backs up every feeling you've ever
and you know, had in your and life. Then I realized this is the scenario that was plucked from a comic from probably the early 70s. So it's like they just took these pages and made them.
And that's kind of when we talked about Spider-Man, and I was like, it's about time they have a mainstream hero, you know, because
yeah,
that that that's what they've had for a long time for African Americans, which is Black Panther. And you're like, what?
He's black and looks like a panther.
And you're like, they're like, that's why we called him Black Panther, not the other thing.
The other thing.
But anyways, so have you, so MODOK?
MODOK showed up.
Hydra.
Super happy about seeing MODOK. He was pretty awesome.
It's awesome. I mean, they put up Hydra. They put up MODOK. They put all these, like, all the supervillains. Yeah. They explain how S.H.I.E.L.D.'s involved and, like, these, all the prisons that exist. And they're all, like, straight out of the comic.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really awesome. It's just a really fun cartoon.
And for the first time, I think ever in a Marvel cartoon did I get a real feeling for the Marvel universe.
Yes.
Like, you know, they all exist in the same place. They've all kind of encountered each other in the past for the most part. So, you know, when Iron Man sees Thor, he's not like, "What the hell are you?"
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
He's like, "Oh, you're the dude with the hammer that flies around like a dumbass," you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So they know of each other's existence, but it's all still about
and
the
I
team
think if you
together.
Were at all worried, although I don't think the movie's really going to be on that path, but if you wanted some background for the Avengers and you didn't want to read a comic, you could easily watch this cartoon and get that kind of comic laden background of where these guys are from. They do a really good job. And to your point of that they can kick anyone's ass, Brian Michael Bendis was talking recently in an interview and said basically that. He said the biggest challenge of the Avengers is making them seem like they have a challenge.
Yeah.
He's like, most of the time you just put any enemy up against them and they just win. Like, there's no way for them. They've been written up so high that this team is basically unbeatable. That's why they're always the ones in, like, world-changing events because they're the only ones that can do
that.
Is
there not
stuff.
A gang of anti-Avengers, like... Like
well, that's
gang
I
of
think
bad
what
dudes.
The part the point in the story I'm at now is there's a they're not called the Brotherhood, but they're like an evil team that's been assembling kind of behind the scenes that's about to go up against. They basically take the arch nemesis from each Avenger.
Yeah, exactly.
And put them against the Avengers. Yeah. So
I'm no
Hulk
rocket scientist,
like,
but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know.
No rock.
But it all makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend it. So you said you had some season 2 info?
Yeah, season 2 info. Some character redesigns I just read about yesterday. Captain America is going to his ultimate version. So he's getting more of the military look.
Actually, speaking of, they actually do the real comic book unveiling of like how he shows up, don't they?
They do. Yeah. He has in the first season of Earth Mightiest Heroes, Captain America gets his own flashback fighting in the 1940s.
Yeah. It's cool. It's really good.
And then it shows how he gets frozen in the Arctic. So it was really cool. And also how they find him and everything. So it's, and he has that really cool moment where he realizes he's like, you know, 75 years in the future.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And what did he say that like actually made me laugh out loud? Oh, he was talking about watching a video on the screen. He goes, "Can the projectionist make it brighter?" I'm just like, this is awesome. That is just good writing. So he gets his ultimate look. So he gets a streamlined cowl. He gets more pouches and a little bit tougher. Thor gets also a little bit more of a streamlined look. Miss Marvel joins the Avengers.
I have a poster hanging in
my
office. We're all looking at it.
Very handy
material.
Yeah. Miss Marvel joins the Avengers, so you're going to get Carol Danvers as Miss Marvel.
Did they say anything? I'm kind of hoping they don't, but did they say anything about like Wolverine or Spider-Man? Are they going to keep them out?
I'm assuming they probably will, but did you notice Wolverine in that Cap episode? Yeah. That was pretty cool. Wolverine is in the Captain America episode, but in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Before he's Wolverine, because he doesn't really age, so he's there fighting alongside Captain America doing his thing, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Hale is voicing Miss Marvel in season 2, so she's joining the cast.
Nerd boner. Jennifer Hale.
So yeah, that's some stuff. I don't remember anything.
That's cool.
That, but
yeah, but
cool.
But jump on it, Scott, so we can actually talk comic books with you.
Jump on it.
You'll like it.
Just watch this cartoon.
Yes.
And I'm there.
Seriously.
Yes. I'm good to go.
You'll know like 50 characters by the time you're done with it.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and do our open thread. We've got about 20 minutes tops, 15 minutes to do.
Yeah, we can fly through it.
Cool. So we'll do all our Twitter responses and then go from there. So we'll be right back.
This is Allie Hillis, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Got it. So we're back.
Pop, pop. Oh.
What are we doing now?
Pop, pop.
So Ash asked a question on Twitter the other day.
And lucky for us, people answered. Because that's always awkward. And you're like, hey, guys, what's your favorite blank? And no one, everyone's just like, shut up. And then you lose five followers. Like, oh, you asked us another question? Fuck
I'm
you.
Sick of these guys.
Yeah.
Wasn't looking for a test when I followed you on Twitter.
For real. But we asked the question, what's your favorite video game protagonist of this console's generation?
And there were a lot. So it was this console.
It was supposed to be this. Yeah, it was supposed to be this console's generation. And then I think we kind of opened it up because people had like, well, what constitutes this generation? Da, 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 da. So then we just kind of said,
like, look, we weren't.
It's way too serious for 100 whatever many characters. So we're just going to keep it simple.
So do you want to read through the answers or do you want to talk it out first amongst us?
Well, let's go through. We can just kind of do.
Do you want to plan this live on the podcast?
Let's plan it live. We'll say the person's name that tweeted to us, and then we'll say who they thought, and then their explanation as to why, and then maybe if we agree or disagree.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So the first guy that responded was Infamous Master, and he said his favorite.
I love reading Twitter names, by the way.
Infamous Master.
Lady Big Mac says John McCain needs to just get out.
Did you see that on the
Daily Show?
Infamous Master, he says, John Marston. He is the most thought out video game character I've ever played as. How do you guys feel about that?
I feel like he needs to get better grammar.
Ooh.
No.
Oh.
Why'd you I have the worst grammar in the world.
Why'd you go there?
I tweeted like my Netflix article once and I was like, blah, blah, blah. And one of our friends was an editor for the weekly here and still does a lot of writing.
Yeah.
And he replied, he was like, he said something about it. And I was like, I'm glad you ignored my horrible grammar. And he said, all he replied with was, I wasn't going to say anything. And didn't write anything else. And I was like, oh, God, it is bad, isn't it? So anyways, John Marston.
Yeah, I almost agree with this guy. I think
almost.
Well,
I know what your number one is?
Here's my deal with John Marston. Went out like a punk.
Well, see, that's
that's our open thread next week.
That's the Rockstar way is sort of like to make your heroes like mortal. I think.
Or yeah.
Like, almost like not anti-heroes, but like not very clear cut.
Well, he was kind of an anti-hero though.
Yeah.
I think he's a great hero. Not my favorite, but I think he definitely on the list. So
I would agree with one of the most thought out characters.
Oh yeah,
probably.
He
ever
has
created.
a pretty awesome life story told through conversation, which is pretty awesome. They didn't need to do flashbacks when he was with the gang. That is, you know, his voice acting was done so well that you could just sit there and listen to him talk, and then you got this great story. So I agree.
I can put like. I feel like I could put Cole Phelps in that same boat with John Marston because of I really liked his story.
Do you know who that is?
From Infamous?
Cole Phelps is L.A. Noir.
Oh, okay. Which one? No, Cole from Infamous is who?
I think now you got me second guessing myself, but.
So you meant Cole from L.A. Noir, regardless of what his last name was.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. The other Cole is from Infamous.
Ah.
So Emma Smith 18. Is there a current... I think he just got a current gen game, didn't he? Answered Rayman and then wrote, because he shows us that you don't need arms, legs, or even a neck to be a hero.
That's actually a good point.
I played some of the Rayman. Like
Rayman
the
is fun.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not a console. Yeah.
Man.
I'm not a big platform guy, but I've heard nothing but good stuff about Rayman. So.
No, Rayman is just tons of fun.
Yeah.
He's like a good...
been around since, what, the Genesis?
Yeah, he's like a good cornerstone of like platform heroes.
Or Nintendo. Was he a Nintendo dude?
I thought
I played him on the Genesis.
I think he was on Super Nintendo.
I'm looking this up.
And I think I played a N64 Rayman game.
Did
as
you?
Well. Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Rayman. That was not one I was expecting, so...
You could throw... Conker from Conker's Bad Fur Day into that as well
as a
hero. Yeah, no, that's rare, but I mean, same generation.
There's a really good chapter in that book, All Your Base Are Belong to Us, that you would really like, Scott, about the generation. Well, I know Scott's more into like Nintendo, but the generation of these like console like icons and how important that is for the consoles themselves. Like, so like Sonic and like, the creation of these characters ends up being like, you know, billions of dollars if that character is like well-liked.
Oh yeah.
So he talks a little bit about that and you'll dig it when you read it. Whoa.
Whoa.
I think he might have just been Nintendo, but I don't know. Wikipedia is not telling me.
All right. Next is Oh Knows You Didn't.
Oh Knows You Didn't.
And that's actually, she lives in Orlando, and we don't know who she is, but she is a freak.
How do you know she lives in Orlando?
Because it says it on her Twitter thing, Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe we do know her then.
Maybe we do, but I don't know. So anyway, she often tweets to us, which is cool. Oh Knows You Didn't says, Ethan Mars in Heavy Rain, I'm a real sucker for ordinary characters stepping up in extraordinary circumstances.
There's only one of us has played that game, right?
So this goes to Scott.
Yeah, this is one of those, again, one of those characters where your hero is not like a superhero, and you feel like they do have some kind of mortality. And Ethan Mars in particular is... he's really put through the ringer. I mean, Heavy Rain is a dark game. It's like a dark drama. Like, all the narrative is like the stuff that happens to this guy is just awful. And you feel,
yeah,
the whole game just makes you feel awful in general, just because it's
everything I hear, like, all of a sudden, like, originally I really wanted to play Heavy Rain. Everyone tells me, like, oh, it just drains your soul.
By the way, that's all I've heard from about LA Noire.
So, really?
Which is why I haven't jumped out of the window to play it yet.
You just want to go home and die. It's like,
but I mean, for the reason that the game evokes such a strong emotional like response from you, it is good. So yeah, good character. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
So Kitler C, or Kitlerk, says, my favorite game hero is Clive Winston from the game Guitar Hero, which makes him the purest definition of game hero. And I would just like to say this. I am shocked this is not a tweet from Ash to himself. Because that is about what I would think your sense of humor would produce.
I appreciate people taking the question at face value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By definition.
Yeah. So thank you, Kitler C. Clive Winston.
He has a really great story arc of playing guitar.
He does. Didn't Guitar Hero Legends, the latest one, actually have like a story arc? Like
they tried to, I think.
Aliens have come down and you need to...
I don't think it was aliens that came down, but they had a story arc.
Oh, I was like, you need to rock the underworld.
That sounds like the storyline for Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
It does. It really does. And then the franchise got canceled. Fucking shocker.
Somebody picked it back up, didn't they? I thought they said that...
I'm
not going to try and do rumors that I'm not sure about.
All right, who wants to read the next one?
Scott, you haven't read one.
The
Oneaters.
The Oneaters. This one-y guy says that, tough. Gordon Freeman or Master Chief, I suppose.
Interesting. Both silent protagonists.
Oh, and we know you love silent protagonists.
I love them.
Gordon Freeman, though, man.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
I can agree with some Gordon Freeman. Master Chief... I like the game, but I don't know about greatest game. I mean, I guess in a tough guy way.
Do you think Master Chief IRL would just be a total douche? Like if you met, like if he was at
the
bar.
90% of the game heroes we play as would be a total douche if we met them in real life.
Probably wouldn't really. They'd all act like Duke Nukem.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, come here, baby.
You know.
Yeah. I agree with Gordon Freeman just because, you know, science nerds need their moment in the spotlight. As for Master Chief, I don't really think...
It's kind of an ordinary guy stepping up to extraordinary circumstances story.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Except that the entire universe is based around the fact that he was supposed to step up to an extraordinary...
Yeah. Good deal.
So here comes the one I expected from everybody.
I actually got rid of a few of these because there were a lot
There it is.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
So Fat CJ...
with a P-H-A-T.
says Shepard.
So let me ask a question about
this. So how many, I have to know how many shepherds did we get?
I think we got 4 or 5 shepherds.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is this self-serving? Because shepherd is essentially whatever you
want him to be,
make him or her to be. So in a sense, aren't you just being like, my character, me, I'm the, you know.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I'm the best hero from any game.
That's a really good point. You know? Yeah, I mean, I think shepherd's awesome protagonist. I don't know if it would be like number one on my list, but I do feel like, in terms of accomplishment, Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, you do a whole lot of world saving in Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2.
Sure.
But I agree with Scott, and I feel like that's why Marston ranks higher to me than Shepard, because Marston is a character that you play as, and Shepard is a character you create a story for.
True.
What about a party member, though? You know, like...
I think some people had party member answers
really?
Below you know, like us, but...
Liara, Garrus, or... or Rex.
Garrus and two.
Yeah. Garrus is a pretty bad hombre.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm all about Shepard, and I agree with Fat CJ. I think Shepard's pretty damn good.
So our good buddy, Dr. Gar.
Yes.
Says, John Marston. Sorry, Shepard, you're badass, but not Marston badass. And then tagged it, nerds.
Nerds. Yeah. Well,
for what it's worth,
this is a very common argument on this show.
For what it's worth, those conversations that you have when you're just riding on a horse, like, you would think that that would be the worst bit of gameplay experience.
But yeah, except for one, it's not.
Yeah.
The only guy that annoyed me that entire game is the dude from Mexico, the cop in Mexico keep riding around with. That just wanted to punch in the throat.
But like the conversations that he has with the what's her face from the first town you roll up to, like that's like
awesome.
That's like quality game time right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was great. What was her? Bonnie?
Bonnie.
Yep, Bonnie.
She was great. I just wanted to go.
I think one of Amy's favorite characters from any game.
Can I play like a Red Dead spinoff where I just play as her?
That would be awesome.
That's what Amy wanted. She was like, why can't I be Bonnie? And I was like, sorry. Well,
knowing Rockstar, they'd be like, Bonnie McFarlane in her own horse rustling game, mini game for kids. And you'd be like, oh, what did you do?
Do you think Rockstar will ever make a game with a female protagonist?
No.
Playable character?
Honestly, no.
Rockstar is one of the only game companies I've heard other game companies make fun of for being like really kind of one, like slightly misogynistic.
I mean, dude, you made a game with a mode in it where you can bang prostitutes. Like,
sure.
To gain life, right? Is that what you get back? Your life.
Yeah. You go and bang prostitutes to gain life. That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
You've kind of lost some credibility at that point.
Yeah, and they're a great company.
No, they're a great company. They make fantastic games, but as far as like non-biased towards women.
Preaching equality. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to win that argument.
And there was, what was the one, not Vice City, but the one after that, San Andreas.
San Andreas.
Where it had like every absolutely terrible stereotype just like blatantly on display. Like your main character was just like, I couldn't
Weren't
play
you a drug-dealing black guy?
Yeah, you were a drug dealer. It was horrible. I was like, I'm like, I have to deal drugs to gain levels? I was just like, what is happening?
Like, part of you wants to be like, well, you didn't pull any punches. But then part of you also wants to be like, did you have to build in every stereotype that ever existed?
Yeah, for like, real.
Oh, man.
Good deal.
So I'm shocked by this next one. Who wants to read
Mass Effect Forever says Alan Wake. No, he says... says
what if you left it at that? He'd be like, no. Yeah.
Forever, damn it.
Max Payne. No, he says Commander Shepard.
Commander Shepard. Can't go wrong with Commander Shepard.
Midtown 583 says,
this is Justin.
Says Isabella from Dragon Age 2, so there's your party member. She's funny, sarcastic, and remains loyal even when you when given a chance to split town.
She only remains loyal if you are good friends with her.
And what about, like, I guess if we're talking about Dragon Age 2, what about your mage or your bard? I mean, we had I had a Twitter conversation with somebody about, like, love affairs between your pirate, your mage, and your bard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think Liliana was, I think, hands down a favorite character
Absolutely.
From the original Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Surprised that we didn't get responses about her.
No, yeah, no Liliana love. But I was a big fan of Isabella. I thought she was a great, she is sort of an anti-hero, you know, like even though she's with you from pretty early on.
She's a pirate.
She's totally a pirate. She has her own motivation and she has her own like little side story going the entire time. And her, you know, involvement with the game is much, much more integral than you really thought it was. You know, she has that big reveal near the end of the game. And you're like, oh, she did that.
She was in Dragon Age 1, though, was she not?
She was. She didn't look the same. They didn't use the same model.
Right.
But she was the one who actually taught you, not swashbuckling, but duelist. Like in the bar.
Right.
Where you can have sex with everybody in the first game. She's in that bar.
I feel like that was a cool thing to do where you're just like, here's a character. You clearly know she's awesome, but she's not going to be in this game.
Yeah.
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 And I kind of felt that way like in Dragon Age 2 when you encounter the Grey Warden. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, hey. And he's like, I got to go. See you. And you're like,
please. I need your help. Yeah. He's like, I have other pressing matters. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Like, see you next game.
And here I am stuck with fucking Anders. And
My life is difficult. anyways, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we back from Dragon Age talk?
We don't like Anders.
Femshep.com.
What did they say?
they said male Commander Shepard. No, they said Commander Shepard.
Commander Shepard. FemShep.com, they do a really cool little bloggy thing, too.
I think we are a little biased in the sense that we probably have a lot of Mass Effect fans
who
follow us on Twitter. But that's welcome. So
yeah.
And then the last one?
Ulathar says, I say the Grey Warden from Dragon Age Origins. Revan from Knights of the Old Republic.
Thank you so much.
Great hero. And the nameless hero from Gothic, which I never played and know nothing about.
Did you ever play Gothic?
No.
I thought one of us did.
So there are two others, though, that we got that I thought we got, and I went back to check.
Okay.
Justin put in a bunch, but the other one he said was the kid from Bastion.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, he's fun. I don't know if he's my favorite of all time, but he's a fun.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really know anything about him.
And then the one that I'm going to agree with is from Tollycuffed. And it's Ezio.
Ah.
Ezio.
Hey, it's
dude, I played the living shit out of 2 and Brotherhood. So.
Just to be a jerk, I'm going to say Desmond.
Desmond.
Yeah.
You jackass.
I love Desmond. His arc is so amazing.
His story is so interesting.
So let's run through ours. I have a guess for who yours is, but let's see. Go ahead.
Look, I don't know, man.
You got to answer your own question. You can't not answer your own question.
I never really thought about this.
Really? I thought it was Gears. I was just going to say Gears, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
I'll go ahead and just say...
you don't have to say that.
I'll say Marcus Fenix.
Which is Gears, right?
Yeah. I also didn't put... I'm on the spot, but...
You guys didn't think about your own
question.
Thinking about it as we've been reading them, and I did say Alan Wake, and I really like that game.
I could see you saying Alan Wake.
And actually,
Dead Space.
I would say, I guess once he got a voice, Isaac Clarke.
We actually got an Isaac Clarke vote at the very last minute. Yeah.
And then I do also agree with the Ethan Mars one, just because of the shit that he is put through.
I have to go for length of amount of time I played as character would be Ezio.
Yeah,
definitely.
Ezio.
I fell in love with that character on 2 when 2 came out, and all of a sudden there was like a real hero that you were playing as that felt like a person that existed somewhere, and I loved that story.
Altair was kind of a jerk off, you know.
He was, and he had no real anything. Yeah. It was just like
I didn't get into.
He's
Altair.
Just a dude.
He was kind of a thug.
Yeah. And Ezio felt more like a story with a real...
He was doing something. Yeah. Like, for, you know, he had a cause.
They always say the quickest way to rope a player or a reader into your story is to involve an element of family and family sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if you look at all of these games that were a large majority of them, I mean, Ezio's story starts with his family being horribly, brutally murdered and executed. Mm-hmm. So immediately you have that connection because you think about your own family. Like, if my mom was hung in front of me, I sure as hell would become an assassin and kill some people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it kind of makes it weird then, doesn't it? That like Shepard has no like
family.
Shepard's backstory is pretty light. I mean, you can kind of choose what that is, but like after that, it's only mentioned like in conversation.
Yeah,
but otherwise, you're kind of still like this like
entity. It's interesting not to go on a Mass Effect tangent, but you know you can choose Shepard's background. Like was he or she has
space. You have to remind me. That's in 1, right?
Yeah, but you never experience it.
But did you ever listen to the radio broadcasts like in 2?
Like in the
One of my characters' origins, I said I'm a spacer and like I come from a military family.
Yeah.
And it was talking about my parent being a starship captain.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Flying around. It was like, you know, the other ship, like Bob
Shepard. What were the
Shepard.
Choices? I honestly don't even remember choosing my background in 1. What was
could be like Earthborn or a spacer.
Oh, right. I think I was Earthborn, and that does come up all the time when they're talking about
stuff. Conversation, they'll say things. They'll be like, oh, you're from Earth, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
you know? But otherwise, like, it's not a part of you. Like, you don't know who your family is or anything.
Yeah,
right?
I never really brought that in.
Hmm.
Cool.
Interesting.
Cool.
Anything else for heroes?
That's it. We'll think of a new Twitter question and we'll start asking in a couple days and see what you guys come up with. So thank you guys so much for participating. It's a nice little segment that I think we, hopefully all 3 of us enjoy doing.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I am too.
I like doing it because pulling the video off was a pain and we're probably not going to be able to do that very often. So it's cool to get interaction. I like having interaction.
I do too.
With other people. Sweet. So if you're really smart, you know the thing that we skipped today, because I just remembered we actually mentioned it on the last podcast.
Oops.
So hopefully next week I will remember to do said thing and we will review it.
I will do the same.
And then that'll be it. So, yeah, good episode.
Good episode.
Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us.
Yeah.
If you're listening on Saturday morning.
They're not.
Pop, pop.
We're going to, that's going to be popular one way or another.
So
let's go watch some Community.
So there we go.
Thanks, guys.
Later.
See you.